Welcome to this week's edition of the Bible Expositors Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Baker, and this week we will be studying Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 13. Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 13. So we started Romans chapter 8 last week, and we talked about walking after the flesh versus walking after the Spirit. And we talked about the fact that the law could not make us righteous, but that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins on the cross, that when we receive Him, that we receive the righteousness of Christ. And verse 4, which is the last verse we studied, says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, now we come down to verse 5, and verse 5 is connected to verse 4. And verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, the phrase, "for they that are after the flesh," is related to walking after the flesh in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh. And that simply means they that walk after the flesh, they that pursue the flesh. And they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, again, that simply means they that walk after the Spirit, they that follow the Spirit, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, those who walk after the flesh, their mind is set on the things of the flesh. But those that walk after the Spirit, their mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Now remember that in verse 1 of chapter 8, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And again in verse 4, that same phrase, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So really verse 5 is explaining this. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, if we think about this, believers in their hearts follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And so, a believer in his new nature, in his heart, because when we get born again, we're given a new heart. And that doesn't mean the physical pump that's in our chest, but that means the mind. We are given a mind to serve Christ. We are given new thoughts, new emotions, a new will, a will to do the will of God, emotions to love Christ, a new mindset. And that's the new heart. And so, in that heart, in that new mindset, we walk after Christ. We follow Christ. Now, what we have to do is get that to where it's not just in the new mindset, that it's not just inside of us, but to where it comes to the outside, to where we actually start to do the things that a Christian should do, and we don't follow after the flesh. So it has both to do with our mind, and it also has to do with our actions. And so, if we look here in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Now, just from a purely action standpoint, from an outward standpoint, we understand that this is true. For instance, a person whose mind, a person who is after alcohol, who's after liquor, minds the things of liquor. That's their mindset. Their mindset is on liquor. And so they go to the liquor store and they buy liquor. They get drunk. They hang out where liquor is sold. Their whole mindset is about liquor because they're after it. That's what their life is about. For they that are after liquor do mind the things of liquor. And the same thing with any sin that you can think of. A person who is after accumulating things, accumulating goods, their mindset is set on that. They are focused on that. That's what their whole life is about. In other words, if your whole direction of your life is after accumulating things, if you want new cars, new boats, new houses, then that's what your mindset is about. Several years ago, there was a website that was put up that the whole purpose of the website was basically so that you could covet things. In other words, you could pick things you wanted. They had pictures of boats and cars, and you could pick the thing that you wanted and then come up with a strategy to where you could get that particular thing. And that's what a person whose whole life is about accumulating things, and that's what they're walking after, then that's what their mind is going to be focused on. For they that are after things do mind the things of accumulating things. And so, in this case, for they that are after the flesh, those that are walking after the flesh, after the sin nature, after carnality, do mind the things of the flesh. Their mind is set on those things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, again, we understand that the believer in his heart follows Christ. He does not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But we again understand from verse 4 that there is a practical side to that as well, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, if you want the righteousness of God's law to be fulfilled in your life, if you want it to be fulfilled in your life, because you certainly can't keep the law, but when you get saved, the law is put inside of you. Christ writes His law upon your heart. The Bible uses that language. And so, the idea is that God puts inside of you to obey His commandments and to keep His commandments, and the believer can fulfill the law. We can fulfill the spirit of the law by walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So as we live our lives following the Spirit of God and doing what the Spirit wants, then we can fulfill the law. Now, verse 5 basically describes the actions of the believer. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But verse 6 talks about the results of those actions. In other words, if in verse 5 you are after the flesh, if that's what you're going after, and your mindset is on the things of the flesh, then the results of that in verse 6 is, for to be carnally minded, that's what you're focused on, is death. But then, if you are the person in verse 5 who is after the Spirit, you're going after the Spirit of God, you're going after the things of God, and your mindset is focused on the things of the Spirit, then in verse 6, the results of that is to be spiritually minded, is life and peace. And so we have two different results. To be carnally minded is death, separation from God. If you want to live a life of being distant from God, of being separated from God, then have your mind focused on the things of the flesh. Live your life going after the things of the flesh. And by the way, what does the flesh want? The flesh wants things that are opposed to God. The flesh wants the things that are in the world. And what is in the world? Well, the Bible says in the book of 1 John, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's what the flesh wants. The flesh wants the things that the body wants. It wants the lust of the flesh, the sinful things that the body's not supposed to have, but that the body wants, that the body lusts after. The flesh wants the things that the eyes see, that we're not supposed to have, but yet that the eyes lust after. And then the flesh wants pride. It wants the things of pride, the things that we can be proud of that are sinful, that we're not supposed to have. A type of pride, there's a type of pride that's okay. Like you can be proud of your children, proud of your wife. That kind of pride is fine. But the kind of pride that looks back on all your accomplishments and says, wow, look at how good I've done. Look at what a great person I am. Look at how smart I am. And that doesn't give proper credit to God. And that doesn't look to God and say, you know, these things came from God. And so that is what the carnal mind is after. That's what the carnal mind is after. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the carnal mind is after. The carnal mind is after things that are opposed to God and to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And to be carnally minded is death. So if you're focused on those kind of things, if those are the kind of things you're walking after, and you're just walking after the things of the flesh, and you're not trying to follow God, and your life is not focused on God, then that's going to result in death. To be carnally minded is death. And remember, in the Bible, death is not annihilation, but death is separation. So that kind of stuff results in separation from God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So these are the results of walking after the Spirit and being spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, verse 7, now we've seen the action in verse 5, we've seen the results in verse 6. In verse 7 we see the reason. The reason. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So why is it, from verse 6, that to be carnally minded is death? Verse 7 explains it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now the word enmity means hostility and even hatred. So the carnal mind is in opposition to God. It's hostile towards God. It hates the things of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You have a warfare going on, and the carnal mind is a hostile thing against God. And the carnal mind is sitting in its trench, lobbing bombs towards the things of God and towards God, and just saying, I don't want the things of God. I don't want God. I'm not going to have anything to do with God. I hate the things of God. That's what the carnal mind is doing, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Now, God wants to rule. And God says, I want you to obey me. But the carnal mind is that rebellious subject that says, I have no desire to obey God. I'm not going to obey God. So I'm going to sit here in my trench and lob bombs towards God towards His kingdom, towards the things of God. I am not going to obey God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so, here's the thing. People who try to serve God through their own creations, through their own inventions, through man's religion, and through the things that man's carnal mind comes up with, can never serve God, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Look at the things, just not even talking about the things that are obviously and evidently sin, but religious sin. Look at the things that the carnal mind of man comes up with. You know, Martin Luther talked about the two devils, and he talked about there's a white devil, and he talked about then there's the black devil. And Martin Luther said the most dangerous of the two is the white devil, because the white devil is the devil of religion. And so, this is what we have. The carnal mind comes up with religious things to try and please God, to try and get to God. And the carnal mind has come up with the idea of, for instance, the Mass. The carnal mind came up with that. Transubstantiation. The carnal mind came up with that. You can receive Christ by receiving the elements during the Holy Eucharist and during the ceremony of the Mass. The carnal mind came up with that. The carnal mind came up with baptismal regeneration. The carnal mind came up with man's religion and trying to please God by man's religion. And so man does all these good works and observes all these religious ceremonies, and man, in his pride, says, I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I'm good. I don't need salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, the carnal mind has come up with religious things, and those things are hostile towards God. They are at enmity against God. They're at war with God. And the same thing with sinful deeds. Stealing, drunkenness, fornication, any sinful thing you can do or think, those things are also at enmity with God and hostile against God. But the more dangerous of the two is the religious sins, because those are the things that cloak themselves in a human righteousness and that send people straight to hell, and people don't even know they're going to hell. So to be carnally minded is death. But then the opposite of that is to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to walk after the Spirit, to follow God, to do the things that God wants you to do, to read your Bible and to pray and to obey the Word of God and to seek God in prayer, there's life from that and there's peace from that. If you want a real life, follow Jesus Christ. If you want real life, believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. And that'll be a life of peace and a life of more life. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So many people seek for peace in so many different things. You know, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, for the wicked or like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so people seek for peace in all kinds of things, and true peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. And true peace for the Christian who has Christ, true peace can be found only in walking after Christ, in following Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we've seen the action in verse 5, the results in verse 6, the reason in verse 7. The reason the carnal mind is death is because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, verse 8. Now, they that are in the flesh. A lot of times we'll talk about a person being in the flesh. We'll talk about a Christian being in the flesh when they do something wrong. I've, for years, heard preachers say, well, I was in the flesh when I lost my temper, or I was in the flesh when I did so-and-so. But the truth of the matter is that according to verse 9, believers are not in the flesh. We can't be in the flesh. Now, we can pursue the things of the flesh. We can do things that the flesh wants to do. But we're never in the flesh. When we get saved, we move out of the kingdom of the flesh and the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of sin, and we move into the kingdom of Christ. The Holy Spirit separates us from those things, and we are baptized into the body of Christ. And verse 9 makes this very clear, that a believer cannot be in the flesh. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but we can please God as believers because, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. A believer is no longer living in the kingdom of the flesh, the kingdom of death, the kingdom of sin, but he is now in the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the Spirit of God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, there's not a doubt here that the Spirit of God dwells in believers. The Spirit of God dwells in all believers. But at the same time, He only dwells in believers. So, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And so, if you're saved, the Spirit of God does dwell in you. But if you're not saved, if the Spirit of God is not dwelling in you, then what he's just said is not true. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. What if a person doesn't have the Spirit of God? Then they're not saved. And so it's not true that they're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. They are in the flesh. And verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You need to make sure you're saved. Make sure the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you. But for the Christian, the Spirit of God definitely does dwell in us, but ye are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. For the Christian, the Spirit of God definitely does dwell in us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, again, the end of verse 9 is just emphasizing, look, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. You're not saved. You know, there are folks, there are Christians, who say that you get saved, and then later on you get the Holy Spirit. But that's just simply not a biblical teaching. Verse 9 leaves no doubt about that. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See, you cannot belong to Christ in any way, shape, or form and not have the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's none of his. So, let it be understood from the Word of God that a believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, then you do not belong to Christ. And there's no such thing as, well, I got saved, and later on I got the Holy Spirit. I understand that in the book of Acts, that if you're studying Acts, sometimes people would believe in Christ, and then later on, the apostles would come and lay hands, and they would receive the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But Acts is transitional. And that's what happened early on. But now, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit immediately indwells us. And that is the pattern for the New Testament church. And so, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you. Now, I love the way this is said, if Christ be in you. Now, Jesus Christ comes to live inside of us when we get saved, but he does that through the person of the Holy Spirit. People sometimes will talk about asking Jesus into your heart or asking Jesus into your life. And it's important that we explain that, what that means, that that means believing in Jesus Christ, because some people will simply just leave it at that and say, well, ask Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. And a person can pray a prayer all day long and say, Jesus, come into my heart. But if they're not believing in Jesus, if they're not trusting in Him as their Savior, they're not going to be saved just by saying, Jesus, come into my heart. And, or even saying that sincerely. They've got to believe in Jesus. They've got to put their faith in Jesus. And it's better if we use biblical language. But it is biblical to ask Jesus to come in. But we've got to understand when Jesus comes in, He's coming in by the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, this is just a simple thing. If Christ be in you, then you have death and you have life. Now, before Christ comes into you, all you've got is death. All you've got is separation from God. The body is dead because of sin. Now, this is talking about your physical body. And it's just simply saying that your physical body is dead because of sin. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So you've got death in your body. Your body is dead because of sin. If you're not saved, you're separated from God. If you're saved, you're not separated from God. But the effects of death are still working in your body. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now this is a wonderful verse. If my body is dead because of sin, how am I supposed to live for God? How am I supposed to serve God? And this has been a struggle that Paul, he was dealing with this in chapter 7 as well. This is a struggle that he's been dealing with. You know, and here we finally see my body is dead. It's powerless because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now that ultimately is talking about the resurrection of the dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. But it's talking about more than the resurrection of the dead. And what it's giving us is a wonderful formula for how we are to live for God. How can we, who are in these mortal bodies, serve God when we've got sin at work in our mortal bodies? And The answer is that we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that powerful Holy Spirit of God who raised the Son of God from the dead, is living inside of our bodies. And the same Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, if you think about that power, what an awesome, mighty power. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can give life to our mortal bodies. But he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So how can we have power to serve God in these bodies? What is the answer to Paul's struggle in Romans chapter 7? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And in chapter 7, he concluded by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the answer is Christ. But how does that work? If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. How can I live for God in the body of this death? Very simple. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give me life. The Holy Spirit will give me power to live for God. The Holy Spirit will give me power to not obey the sinful desires of the flesh, but to obey God. The Holy Spirit will give me power. And ultimately, He will raise me from the dead, the same as He raised Christ from the dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And obviously the opposite of that is we are in debt to God to live after the Spirit of God. That's who we owe. We owe God. We don't owe the flesh. The flesh is killing us. The flesh is death. The flesh is sin. The flesh is a loss of peace, a loss of joy. That's what the flesh is. So we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh, but we're debtors to God to live after the Spirit of God. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now again, this is the same idea as verse 11. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, the body, the deeds of the body, are sinful things that the body does. Sinful thoughts that the brain thinks. Sinful things the eyes look at. Sinful places that the feet walk to. And how do we put those things to death? How do we kill those things? How do we separate ourselves from those sinful deeds? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. And that same Holy Spirit can give you and can give me power to live for God and to mortify, to kill the sinful deeds of the body. When I was in Bible college, we studied the works of John Owens. We looked at, John Owens was a Puritan theologian. And he wrote about mortification. And probably his most famous work is a work on the Holy Spirit. But John Owens, what we studied was a work that John Owens wrote on mortification. And John Owens basically taught that we needed to attack the flesh, the sin nature, indwelling sin. We needed to attack indwelling sin. And we did that through prayer, warfare praying, and through fasting, and through depriving the flesh of things that would empower the flesh and embolden the flesh. And that as we prayed against the flesh and attacked the flesh through the Spirit of God, that the flesh would get weaker and weaker. And this was his idea of mortification of the flesh. And John Owens taught that instead of attacking the individual deeds of the flesh, that we should actually go against indwelling sin as a whole. And just look at indwelling sin as the enemy and pound the enemy with prayer and with fastings and with depriving the flesh of things that would feed the flesh. And when we studied that, our professor contrasted that against Keswick sanctification theology. And basically, the Keswick Conference, which was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was in the 20th century, early 20th century. But the Keswick Conference basically taught the idea of yielding to the Spirit of God, dying to self, and coming to a higher plane in the Christian life, where you could live a victorious and successful Christian life by letting go and letting God. And we were taught in Bible college that mortification was the correct thing, that what John Owens taught was correct. What John Owen taught was correct. And that let go and let God was wrong. That was wrong. But as we study the Bible, as I've studied the Bible, the truth of the matter is that I've come to the conclusion, because the Bible teaches it, that both are true. Both are true. Because if you look in verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now, how do we mortify the deeds of the body? By the Holy Spirit. Well, certainly, we've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. We've got to let the Holy Spirit empower us, fill us, take control of us. And through doing that, the deeds of the body will be put to death. We don't mortify the deeds of the body through our own efforts, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, that is more along the lines of the Keswick idea of sanctification, through yielding to the Spirit. But now, what John Owens wrote about warfare praying and struggling against the sin nature, struggling against indwelling sin, and all that sort of a thing, what he wrote about that, that also is true in the Word of God. Because the truth of the matter is that if you just pray, "God, crucify this sin in me, take this sin away," and you don't get rid of things in your life that are feeding that sin, if you don't do warfare praying against sin, because there are some things. Remember when the disciples tried to cast out a demon and it wouldn't come out? And Jesus cast it out, and then Jesus said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." Well, there's some things that just won't happen unless we pray, unless we do some serious praying and some fasting, and we really seek God. You know, Jesus said, "Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given ye. Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find." There's times in prayer when we can't just say, "God, please take this away I believe that you're going to take it away, and it's gone. There's times when we got to struggle against things in prayer, when we've got to do some serious warfare praying. But even that is done through the Holy Spirit, because we know that the Word of God teaches that the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So there's things that we can't express, that we can't say, that the Holy Spirit takes to God. And we have to pray in the Holy Spirit. And so, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? How do you separate yourself from the things of the body? Well, you do it by trusting God, by yielding to the Holy Spirit, and by believing God. The same way you got saved by faith, you believe God, and God fills you with the Holy Spirit. You ask Him to fill you, and He fills you, and you can overcome these things and defeat these things. But there are things that you're going to have to struggle against and pray against, and it may take long hours of prayer and seasons of prayer to overcome those things and to see the flesh weakened. And so, we, as believers in Jesus Christ, need to yield to the Holy Spirit and also to struggle and pray and go to war against these things by the Holy Spirit. And that may require fasting, and it certainly will require you getting rid of things if you have tempting things. You're not to make any provision for the flesh that you may obey it in the lust thereof, but even that you have to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the children of Israel were standing at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's armies coming up behind them, and they didn't know what to do, Moses said to them, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Well, that's the Keswick idea. That's the idea of let go and let God. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And what he was saying to them is, we don't know the way forward, so we're going to see God deliver us. We're just going to stand here and we're going to see God deliver us. And if God had not parted that sea, he would have delivered them that way. But what did God say to Moses? God said, "Why are you crying to me? Speak unto the people that they go forward." God said, "I told you to walk. Walk." And when they walked forward, Moses lifts his rod and the Red Sea is parted. God intended for them to keep moving and to go through the Red Sea. Now, we need to do both. We need to do both. We've got to depend on God. We've got to depend on God. It is not through your own power that you can overcome sin. It's not through my own power that I can overcome sin. But at the same time, God's commanded us as believers to go forward. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got to mortify, we've got to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And the truth of the matter is, if I wake up in the morning, morning after morning, and I don't read my Bible, I don't have devotions, I don't pray, I don't throughout the day pray, I don't get rid of sinful things that are temptations to me, and I don't do the things that are necessary to mortify the deeds of the flesh, doing those things in the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's going to take the Holy Spirit to get rid of things that you need to get rid of, that you love, that you keep around. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to intercede for you and to assist you when you pray, to speak in groanings which cannot be uttered. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to do that, to say the words that you cannot say, that go straight to the throne of God. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to do that. But you cannot just stand still and see victory if God has told you to go forward. If God has told you to go forward, you've got to move. You've got to keep walking. You've got to walk through and see God part those waters that are standing before you. And you've got to see God work. And the only way you'll see Him work is if you move forward. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You as a believer in Jesus Christ, put to death the deeds of your flesh, the deeds of the body, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you'll live. You'll live. So many people are living beneath their privilege as Christians because they're following the things of the world. And they're not finding the life that God has for them. Because God has a wonderful life for us in following Him. If we'll just simply mortify the deeds of the body. And we'll never find that life. Yes, there are struggles in that life, but it's a wonderful life. And we're never going to find that life if we're focused on pursuing the things of the flesh. So this week, as we conclude our broadcast today, follow God. Do what God wants you to do. If there's a Red Sea in front of you, He'll split the Red Sea. If there's things you're struggling with, sins that you're struggling with, in the power of the Holy Spirit, pray against those things. Get rid of the temptations and move forward in the power of God, depending on God and understanding that if you get in a corner where there's no way forward, you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because you are mortifying the deeds of the body, but you're doing that through the Spirit of God. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.